But seriously, I'm excited. Not only because he asked me to speak, but it's the Sunday before Christmas. I've been a disciple 35 years, and I never had the privilege of speaking on this occasion. And so 2 months is a long time to marinate on a sermon. And so you can imagine it has switched gears several times since. And I wanted to speak on the perfect gift. Now, some of you might be thinking, we've been talking about gifts all month. And so last night I was thinking, you know, between Joe and Kinson and even Kevin last night, yesterday morning, did our marriage workshop, touched on some themes that I wanted to touch on. So part of me was like, I don't know, maybe I should just switch gears. So I prayed about it, and the Spirit said, no, you're going to preach this sermon. And so I want to talk about the perfect gift. All right, here we go. Technology wasn't working earlier, so I was a little nervous about that. But, you know, when I think of the perfect gift, I think about something that demonstrates thoughtfulness. It shows you understand what a person needs and or wants. The receiver will think, you get me. You understand me. You know what makes me tick. And it certainly makes that person feel loved, feel special. Now, I'm guilty of getting a little crazy at Christmas time. Daisy will tell you sometimes I get a little carried away with Christmas. Normally, I'm a little tight with the finances. I'm always watching it, making sure we're taking care of business financially. But when Christmas comes, I throw the rule book out the window. One such time was back in 2020. My wife and I are a one-car family. We had given our car to our son, Ryan, for college. So we got along with one car for a while. But the time came that the budget allowed me to just surprise Daisy with something special. And so I remember thinking, I'm going to blow her away with a car. And I bought the car around November, so it was 6 weeks till Christmas. And I remember having to park it down the block where she wouldn't see it. And I was so excited. And on Christmas Eve, I pulled the car up onto the sidewalk and parked it right in front of the house, so that when she opened the door, she would see this brand new, beautiful car. She didn't want me to show this picture, but doesn't she look happy? I mean, I'll tell you what, I got more excited about giving her that car than she did receiving that car. That meant more to me, I think. I had so much fun just amping up the surprise. It was such an exciting time. I did the same thing last year. My son has been hankering for a dog for years now. And I told him that after our dog had passed, I'm done, we're not having any more pets. I was even mean about it. I told him the closest thing you're going to come to a pet is a stuffed animal, because we are not having more pets in this house. But I gave in, and I surprised them with this guy. That's Hunter, 6 pounds. He's now 70 pounds. And so, you know, these were kind of life-changing Christmas gifts, because, you know, they changed the way we live. And, you know, as awesome as those gifts were, they pale in comparison to the amazing gift that you and I have been given in Christ. And so I want to talk about that gift. I want to go back to the origin story. So turn to Matthew chapter 2 and look at the origin of this holiday we call Christmas. And it reads in Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and had come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler. Just want to make sure I'm on the right slide. Sorry, guys. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And this is where it all started. This is the origin story for what we call Christmas. It was an event that impacted eternity. Much like today, when we celebrate Christmas, there was anticipation because this had been foretold. People were waiting for this event. And so there was a lot of joy when it finally had arrived. As they followed this star, it says they were overjoyed when they realized that they had finally found Christ. But I want you to note something, that it says that the Magi went to Jesus, and yes, they presented them with gifts, but that wasn't their principal purpose. Their purpose was to worship him. This holiday that we celebrate every year that means so much to us was born out of an act of worship. And I ask you today, how is your worship? I ask that because there's a cultural part of Christmas that in which Jesus can get lost. And there's nothing wrong with the cultural part. We have decorations, we put lights on our homes, we have the trees, we even have games that are connected to Christmas, white elephant parties, we have Secret Santa, all those are great. But sometimes the meaning can get lost. And so I wanted to point you back to this moment because this started as an act of worship. They gave him gifts because they affirmed who he was, the Christ, the Savior. And so I want to talk about what makes this gift that God has given us so perfect. Point number one, it's a lasting gift. Okay. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And it reads, "And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life." He's given us eternal life. Now, we may fade physically, but our life in him is eternal. That is the gift that he had given us. You know, even the best Christmas gifts fade away, right? I mean, we may stow them away in the attic or in the basement. Some of them we even throw away. Or perhaps we just forget them. How many of you, raise your hand, if you remember what you got for Christmas 10 years ago? Not many hands are going up. I certainly don't remember. But this gift that God has given us is eternal. And it is lasting. But what's the response? And I want to talk about the response, and that is our call to give. That we look at the cross, and we are compelled to respond to it. It is difficult to ignore. And I want to turn over to Romans 12 in verse 1. And it reads, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." When we reflect on God's perfect gift, it should inspire us to give of ourselves. We find opportunities to serve and to worship God with our lives. It is an action, not a noun. And you know, if you look around at your fellowship of believers, this gift, this eternal gift, is literally the gift that keeps on giving. Why? Because we are the manifestation of Christ. And so as we grow and mature in the Lord, we give of ourselves to one another. We literally keep on giving. And so this gift lasts through us as we continue to serve one another and serve the lost world. And in that sense, it truly is eternal. It will never fade. And even as we go on into eternity, that gift continues. My third point is the personal nature of God's gift. You know, when you give a gift, it should be personal, right? You give thought to it. You want to endear yourself to that person, and you certainly want to make them feel loved. And so God's gift to us was indeed personal. You know, I make connections with God in a variety of ways. Obviously, it starts with the Word, but there's so many ways that I can make a connection to God. One way is prayer walks, where I just look at nature. You know, this past summer, we had an opportunity to go to Arizona and see the Grand Canyon. You talk about connection to God. If you haven't been there, you got to check it out. I was blown away. You know, funny, leading up to the vacation, I was thinking, I hope I'm not disappointed. I mean, it was amazing. Just looking at what God had done over so many years just endeared me to God, and I made a connection. Another way I do it is through movies. You know, one of the movies that I love, and I drive Daisy nuts every Christmas with this, is A Christmas Story. Since Thanksgiving, I think I've seen it 10 times. I'm not kidding. And my son's walking in the living room. He's like, dude, again? I don't care. I make so many connections from that movie. It's amazing. But I want to show you a scene. And forgive me if some of you haven't seen it. I may spoil something for you. But basically, the story is about this kid who wants this BB gun for Christmas. And he spends the entire movie trying to get his parents to buy him this gift. It was the perfect gift for him. It was the Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. Yeah, I have two of them. But at the end of the movie, they're celebrating Christmas. It's Christmas Day, and the gifts are given out. And poor Ralphie, that's the name of the kid, is sitting there having not received this amazing gift. And I want you to see the scene, but instead of focusing on the kid, Ralphie, I want you to look at the dad. And I want to follow up with what that means. You can play that.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
All right. You there? You good?
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
Almost, huh? Well, that's life. Well, there's always next Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, that's funny. What's that over there behind the desk?
Where?
Oh, behind the desk, against the wall over there. Why don't you go check it out? Hmm.
over there, honey.
Santa Claus probably won.
Okay, but outside. Oh, I still say those things are dangerous. No, put on your galoshes and your coat. It's cold out.
I had one when I was 8 years old.
You could stop it.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
That's awesome. Did you notice the dad? I mean, it was awesome for Ralphie, but I couldn't help but see the joy in the dad. Ralphie spent the entire movie fretting about this gift, and all the time, his dad had his back. He had planned to get that gun the whole time because he understood. He was connected to his son. He understood, I know exactly what you want. And really, this instinct that a father has to make his son happy, to bring them joy, to protect them, to provide, that's a God-given instinct. That's how God is with us. I want you to think about all the times where perhaps you fretted about something deeply personal to you, or perhaps going through a struggle and you doubted that God understood where you were at. I know I have. And yet, I think God sometimes takes joy in surprising us. He gets a kick out of saying, you know what? Let him wait just a little bit longer, and then he blows us away. That's who God is. He loves to give us perfect gifts. And in his son, he provided that lasting gift. To close out, look over at James chapter 1. Whoops. If you can get me to that slide, 13, I believe it is. Thank you. It reads, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, I love the imagery in this scripture because it reminds me of God's majesty and the power that he has to govern the universe. But notice it mentions shifting shadows. So I took some time to research shifting shadows. And it says shadows are caused by the movement of light sources or changes in objects that block the light. For example, as the sun moves during the day, shadows lengthen, shorten, and change direction. And so this idea in this scripture about shifting shadows symbolizes inconsistency, unreliability, and variability. And that's not who God is. Unlike the sun, which rises and sets, God's nature does not change. He is constant, and he is trustworthy. His character is not subject to fluctuation. He's not capricious. He's not moody. Amen? He's not inconsistent. If he is good today, he will be good tomorrow. We can count on him. As it says in Malachi 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. God is dependable. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. And no matter where you are today, perhaps if you come here distracted, or perhaps you're going through a struggle, your God knows. He's got your back. You can be faithful to him because he will be faithful to you. So today, as we reflect on the body that was beaten on the cross and the fruit of the vine that represents his blood, I want you to reflect on your personal worship today. This is a great season. It really is. I love this season. But do not let it get lost on you of why we're doing this today. Our worship is to Jesus Christ. And so as you celebrate with families this week, I want you to take time to really reflect on that. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this privilege of worshiping you. We thank you so much that you have given us hope, an eternal hope. Thank you so much for your son who's beaten on the cross for us, who shed his blood, which is the source of our forgiveness. Father, I pray that as we go home this week and we celebrate Christmas, that we reflect on what it truly means. I know that there's so many distractions, Father. I pray that we can really pause and remember what you have done for us, and that we take that time to draw closer to you. And we thank you so much that we have that relationship with you, that intimate relationship with you. Thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and thank you for that intimate relationship we have with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.